it's me again. Yeah. Oh, thanks. Some people like me. It's all right. It's all good. Have you all had a good week? Yeah. Are you all looking forward for this coming week? Yeah. Oh, one person. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Anyway, I just want to a couple more announcements. There is a conference. It's called the Advancing Women. That's happening next Saturday by Wendy Yap. She's organizing. There are about 75 different churches, I think denominations as well, going to come together and actually pray to pray for the city. So if you have the heart, if you have a heart for our city, not saying you don't, you do, but if you have that time and you want to come, it starts, I think, about 3 or 4 p.m. and goes to about 8 o'clock at night. So if you want to attend that one, you still have time and opportunity to register. And of course, the week after, of course, it's a different one. It's not so much praying for the women in the city, praying for our city, but it's actually more of our event where it's called Faith, Hope, and Love Restored. We have Jade and Carolyn coming to share with us. So if you haven't registered, go tell a friend, go pay for someone, go bless somebody with it, and come, because where's Pastor Jez? Is Pastor Jez here? Yeah, he said he's going to train up some men to know how to really serve the women on that day. So that's going to be exciting. Yeah? Cool. Yes, that's right. He's there. Awesome. So today's sermon is about the power of a blessing. Because last week we heard from Sang. He shared on, does anyone remember? Blessed to be a blessing. Absolutely. We're called to be, we are all blessed and we're called to be a blessing, right? So, and that, why God has put this on my heart and for Sang to actually preach on that is just we've been going through a series or just a journey of knowing, you know, when life breaks, God births blessings, right? And then from our brokenness, He is calling us to bear fruit. And then we're blessed to be a blessing. But today, I'm going to speak about the power of a blessing or the power of blessing. And I want to take you a little bit deeper today to understand not just the whole entirety of it, because I don't think we could, but at least a glimpse and an understanding what it actually means to be blessed. Maybe you ask the question, what does blessing mean? Why is blessing powerful? How do we live a culture of blessing? Yeah? So we learned last week that we're blessed to be a blessing, not because of what we have, not because of what we physically have in our hands, but because of who He is, because of what He has done, nothing to do with us. Do you agree with that? Yeah? Amen. I already went through that. Can we go on? Sorry, help. Thank you. I forgot. I thought I'm moving here, but it's not moving there. Sorry. So what does it mean to be blessed? The word bless in Hebrew, it's called barak. Everybody say barak. Barak, yeah. So does anyone know what it means to bless? Anybody? Nope? Okay, I'm sure you do somehow you know what it means. But anyway, it means to speak life, to affirm identity, to empower, to prosper, or to flourish. So whenever someone sneezes and you say, hey, God bless you, oh, bless you. So what you're actually saying to them is, I'm empowering you to prosper. I'm affirming you. You know, so you're basically doing that, but we don't realize. We just say the words because, hey, God bless you, you know, but you're actually declaring something so powerful over that person, but you don't even realize it. Yeah? You know, in Genesis, God wants us to realize and open our eyes to this truth today. The truth about blessing. And we know that blessing originates from God and is a key part of His creation and plan for humanity. You know, Genesis 1:26 says, let us make men in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And then verse 27, it says, God created men in his own image, and in the image of God he created. He created them. You see, God blessed Adam with relationship. And that first relationship is actually with God. And then he says in Genesis 2:18, he actually says that it's not good for a man to be alone. Come on, men agree? Amen? It's not good for a man to be alone. So what did God do? He created Eve, yeah? Not as an afterthought, okay? Definitely not as an afterthought and not lesser either. But a woman or a gift or Eve, you know, it is a gift of joy in your sorrow. It's for companionship so that you are never alone. You know, it's for partnership and it's for shared calling and purpose. That's why he made Eve. So, and of course, Adam's response, I'm sure you've heard this many, many times. You know, Adam saw Eve and he go like, he said, hey, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, you know. And you go like, whoa, man, she looks good. You know, so anyway, you didn't get that. Okay, it's woman. Whoa, man, it's woman. All right, so he made a woman, you know. And this is the beauty of God. After he created Eve, Adam and Eve, on the sixth day, the very first thing he did was actually to bless them. He blessed them. Everybody say, he blessed them. That's right. He blessed them. And he, to continue that whole verse, it said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens and every living thing that moves on earth. He blessed you. That's the first thing he did was to bless them. And when God created them, he actually wanted Adam to experience this love relationship between God and him, and then with man and woman. It's very simple. He made this relationship, I'm going to say that again, first to understand between God and men, and second between man and a woman. And you know, Genesis 2:24 actually says that God declared his first prophetic blueprint, the way he would bless us, is actually through family. Did you get that? The first thing he did is actually the first prophetic word that he has given over us, over human, over mankind, is actually through Adam and Eve. And it actually says this in Genesis 2:24. It says that a man shall leave his father and mother and be united or cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Amen? So why did God do that through a family? Does anyone know? Why did he do it? Why did he choose his first one he wants to bless? He blessed men and women, and then he said, he called them to be one, and he wants to bless them as a family. Do you know why? Because family is where a person first learns that who they are. This is the first thing they do, right? And if they are loved, and if they belong, and if they matter, or if they are loved. That's what families actually do. When you're in a family, I don't know whatever age you are, but that's what it shows you. It shows you your identity. It shows you whether you belong to this family or not. Yeah? So family is the first expression of God's nature. He is not just powerful, all powerful, but he is relationship. So the first human relationship he formed was between a husband and wife, which is a love covenant. And that relationship reflects him. It is not something he wants us to be afraid of. Can I just encourage you, if you're far away from the Lord and if you're not spending time with the Lord, or you just don't know how to get to him, this is something that he wants us not to be afraid of. He doesn't want you to run away from him, but he wants to bring us closer. He wants to give us hope, to bring joy, and just to enjoy the fellowship with one another. But we all know in Genesis 3 that the enemy came not to destroy the garden or the world, but the first place that he came was to attack who? Does anyone remember what happened in the garden? Who did he attack? He attacked the man and woman, both of them together, not just one. And after that, he attacked man and God. Yeah? It was that flow. He attacked the woman and the man, and then with God. Because the devil knows that it is the very place God wants the blessing to flow. So he's going to try and stop it. Yeah? So when men turned away from God, he no longer have the fear of God. And he would disobey God. And he no longer submits to God. And would give in or succumb to the will of the flesh, the distractions and temptations and discouragements in life. And so when the enemy sees that, he sees that disobedience, he sees that you have walked away, he sees that you have your arrogance in that, like, oh, I know better, you know? And you know what? He says, ah, now I have a foothold here. I could come in. I could come in and have my way. Because we all know full well in John 10:10, it actually talks about, does anyone know the verse? That the enemy comes to steal, kill. Oh, it's there. Ah, you all know it. To come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he did. He comes to steal and kill and destroy your identity, your belonging, your purpose, and your relationship. So families, parents, or husband and wives, non-husband and wives, even friendships or whatever, you know what? That's one thing he wants to attack is relationships. So if you start arguing and what is going on and something, you know what? If you could just stop and say, hey, there is a fourth person that's trying to come into this relationship, and that's the devil. Yeah? Because if you're not putting God, I mean, God is there, but if you're not looking to him, there is someone else trying to come in. All right? And everything else becomes difficult. Everything else becomes horrible. Relationships becomes harder. Everything else just becomes so hard and not able to go through things. And I just want to remind you that Satan, I'm going to call it just as is, Satan hates unity. Did you hear me? Satan hates unity. He hates Christ. He hates family. And he hates marriages. And this is the place where he is targeting. Because marriage is a picture of the union with Christ and the church, and he hates it. And family is a picture of union, us, with the Father, and he hates it. If he can get you, he can get your marriage, and he can get your children. And sometimes we wonder, what is going on? What is going on here? And we feel like, oh, just because of the distractions in the world. But I think sometimes we just lose our focus on who God is and where the blessing is actually coming from. We have forgotten. And sometimes we're not careful, you know, our words actually deceive us. Our words actually fail us because we're not speaking life, but we're speaking death. And we're wondering, you know, why isn't the blessing, why aren't we feeling the blessing? And it's so rare. We don't even see it these days because it's like, oh, because we're stuck. So when trust in God breaks, trust in each other breaks. So simple. So simple. But you know what? The beauty about our God, he already had a plan. Amen? Come on, there must be joy right now. He already had a plan. So the enemy is defeated, okay? He declared the end from the beginning in Solomon's prophecy in Genesis 3:15. He says that I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. But the seed of the woman will crush in the serpent's head and you will strike his heel. That seed, my friend, is Jesus, who came to restore identity, who came to restore blessing, who came to restore relationships, who came to restore families. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, and I was thinking about this, and I said, Lord, how am I to know that I'm truly, really, really blessed by you? It's like not enough that he showed me in Genesis, right? But then we all know the scripture, Psalm 139. I'm going to read the Passion Translation from this. You know, verse 13 says, you form my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside. Can I invite you to just close your eyes? And I just want you to hear these words. Let these words speak over you. Let God himself, let Father God tell him that you are blessed, that he already thought of you. I'm going to say that again. Verse 13, it says, You form my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even form every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Thank you, Jesus. My friends, before any parent spoke over you, God already did. He already thought of you. He formed you. He dreamt of you. He called you wonderful. So my friends, you were born out of blessing. You're not an accident. You're not by chance. And can I say, if you were adopted or raised by someone else, can I assure you that every life begins with God's heart toward you? Can I say that again? If you were raised by someone else, or maybe your parents didn't make you feel so worthy, can I say that God's heart is toward you? It begins with divine blessing. That every child and every person carries the imprint of God's delight. You know what? Just turn to the person next to you. Look at the person next to you. I want you to see the intricate details of that person. And do you know and tell that to that person that you carry the imprint of God's delight? Wow. So if you're aging like me, you can still say you carry the imprint of God's delight. Wow. John, you may have permed your hair in Korea, but you truly carry the imprint of God's light. He's trying not to fall asleep. But you know, but you are absolutely beautiful. Can you imagine when you see your brother and your sister, you see your children, you see your mother, you see your father. You know, sometimes we forget, we get frustrated because we all get upset with our parents or something or our children. But you know what? When you look at them, Mom, you carry the imprint of God. Of God's delight, Mom. Thank you. So when we talk about blessing in families, it's not to replace God's voice, but to echo it. Parents are invited to agree with heaven about who their children are. In other words, parents don't create identity. They are meant to confirm what God already said. Amen? I just want to share a little story. It's a personal story. You know, a while ago, I went through a ancient paths and the generational blessings and overcoming anger seminars, all three seminars I've attended. It's held by the Family Foundation International. I didn't go because I felt broken. I went because I was hungry for God. I wanted more. I wanted to learn something. I said, oh, maybe it's more knowledge, you know, so I can teach others, is what I thought. But in that space, God touched me in a very, very deep places that I didn't even think I needed. I didn't think that I needed his love or his healing, but he met me. He got my number. He had my number. And as a blessing was spoken over me, I felt God said, I saw you. I formed you in your mother's womb. You are my beloved daughter, and I delight in you. You know, my friends, these people didn't even know me. I was in a group, and people were just speaking over me, and God said those words, and, you know, something shifted within me. I've been to so many seminars and so many conferences, and these are one of the things that was so profound that actually changed my life. It changed my perception. It changed a lot of things in me. It shifted deep inside me that, you know what, for the first time, I feel like I was released to be a woman. I feel like I was just always being still a little girl or trying to fit in, trying to prove myself, trying to prove to others. You know, the part that's always strong and always want to be in control, and that I look that I'm always fine. But all those things finally exhaled. I realized I didn't have to hold everything together. I didn't have to earn love or carry strength alone. The blessing released me to be a woman, not just a leader, not just a worker, not just someone who serves others, but a beloved daughter. You know, the Lord restored my belonging that day. He restored my joy, and he absolutely healed my heart. And he's still healing in a lot of other ways, but that was a significant moment that God really healed my identity. You see, from that place, I realized that the role of parents or spiritual parents, grandparents, are grandparents here? Yes? Mom, you can put up the yes, that's right. Grandparents, uncles, are there uncles here? Yes. Aunties? All right, cool. We have uncles, aunties. Are there men in this room? Hey, what? Yes. Are there women in this room? All right, only a few. Sorry, Ash didn't put up a hand, so I was like, okay, no, I'm just joking. You know what? All of us, each and every one of us, if you are in Christ, can I say that his spirit dwells in you? If you agree, say amen. And you are the carrier of his image? Amen? So therefore, my friend, if God is the one who started to bless us first, and we say we're the carrier of his image, what does that mean? What does that mean? Can someone shout it out, please? Come on, shout it out. Shout it out, Siu-Chin. Yeah, Christ in me to what? Because if God is the one that first blessed us, what are we called to do? We learned this last week from Sang. Bless others, exactly. Therefore, It is our role. It is our responsibility. Every person in this room to bless another person, to bless your children, to bless your spouse, to be his voice on this earth, to be a blessing at your workplace. Not just saying to someone, hey, good on you, mate. Yeah, that's right. Well done. No, sorry. No. Call out that person. Hey, John, well done. I'm going to use you again. John, thank you for serving as a treasurer. Thank you for praying. Thank you for, you know what, I see your faithfulness. I see your heart. I see you really, really pressing into God, and you really believe for our church that God is going to provide. You know, that kind, you're believing, you're calling things, you know, calling out his talents and his giftings, what God has poured out in that person, and you bless him. And I say, I want to bless you today, yeah? So the blessing that you speak, my friend, comes from the Father, and that brings eternal hope. You forget this, yeah? The blessings that we speak over people brings eternal hope for generations to come. It has generational impact. The effects of God's blessing are not limited to any individual, but can be extended to their children and future generations. And we saw this with Abraham, with Isaac and Jacob. What did it do? It builds, it shapes, it creates wholeness. It provides advantage, enables victory over adversity, opens door to opportunities. That's what blessing does. Yeah, blessing is so important and so powerful because when you bless someone, God speaks over you. And can I say that that same principle, when you talk about someone negatively, it has the same lasting generational impact. Because the power of our words, the power of our tongue, either brings life or death. We have to be careful what we say. You know, in Scripture, blessing was always spoken. Abraham blessed Isaac. Isaac blessed Jacob. Jacob blessed his sons. Jesus blessed the children. So when you are in agreement with what God says, hi, Chris, welcome back. Nice to see you. Not saying that, okay? But when you are in agreement with what God says, it transcends to generations. So when someone is not driving according to how you like them to drive, and instead of cursing them, who gets upset when someone doesn't drive properly? Oh, wow. 1, 2, 3, 4. I love the honesty. 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. I know my husband's one of them. Really, really gets upset. But you know what? Let me tell you something. Can I encourage you? As much as you want to get angry and upset them, I mean, they can't hear you, but God hears you. Just bless them. Bless them and say, I bless them, Lord. It's fine. Pardon? My friends, you know, I called my niece this morning, one of my nieces, I got many. I called Jasmine, and I wanted to ask her, I said, how long did your parents pray a blessing over you? And she said, oh my God, so long. Every night, they will ask us to come into the room, lay hands on us, and keep praying blessing and blessing and blessing. And I said, so what has that done for you today? She said, I know who I am. I know that I am love. I know my purpose. She said, without fail, her parents have laid hands and called them in and prayed for them and blessed them. I had a privilege of living with them for a few years, and I did join them for their prayer a lot of times, not every now and then, a lot of times. But I see the difference in a 21-year-old girl when she said, I know who I am. I know my purpose. She said, I'm sure it's not because of my parents, it's because I know who God is. That's pretty powerful to hear a 21-year-old girl saying that. And one of the things I learned from the seminar is How to bless. And I just want to give you an example. Is that okay? Can I do that? Crystal, can I ask you to come up, please? Sorry, I forgot. But it's okay. You can come up. I can give you your jacket. She's cold. I just want to give you an example. Is that all right? Can we do that? What it actually looks like to bless someone. Because I was really asking God. I had so many people in mind to bless. But because I'm her auntie, I can do this. Right? And she's my niece. I love you, Chris.
Love you too.
I want to bless you today, Chrissy. Is that okay? You are precious, Chrissy. You are beautiful. You are chosen. You are not an accident. You are so loved by God. I can't even remember the words I wanted to say. You are a gift to the people around you. You carry joy. You carry warmth. I wrote this down. I thought of you. And you carry His light. And I just want to tell you that I see God forming something beautiful in your life. And I want to bless the gifts He has placed inside you. Your kindness, your strength, your wisdom, your creativity. God has plans for you. Good plans. And you will walk confidently in who you are in Him. And I want you to know that you won't be walking alone. That you don't walk alone. Look at the family out here. Look at everyone here. I want you to look at her. I want you to see her. She has been faithfully serving. Week in, week out, year in, year out. She has. Some of you, if you find her annoying, I break those words right now in the name of Jesus Christ. She is annoying because she wants excellence from God. That's all her heart is. None of us are perfect. But Chrissy, I want to bless you. We, your church family, we are here for you. We bless you as you grow into all God has designed you to be. I bless you with the name of Jesus to know who you are and whose you are. Chrissy, God just didn't give you a voice to sing, but He gave you a voice that will set free generations. And that's the voice that He has affirmed in you. And sometimes you don't see it, you don't realize it, but He said, I've blessed you with it. So, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Lord, that you have blessed Chrissy. That you saw her even when, before she was formed in her mother's womb. And Lord, that you want to bless her and you see her worth. No one else may have seen it, but Lord, you saw her first. You called her before anyone else have called her. So Father, I thank you that your word is solid and true and we can trust when your word is released, it will never ever return to you void. So, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. She said, I'm so annoying. Not thank you for the blessing. Jeez. There are five elements of blessings. And you touch that person. Could be your husband, could be your wife. And it has to be a spoken word. You're expressing high value. You see that person's worth. and you're picturing what God is showing you about that person, and you make that active commitment to that person. It's so simple, my friends. That's what we all can do. Parents and mentors, when you speak like this, uncles, aunties, when you speak like this, their identity is sealed, their fear is broken, and the love of God is received. Amen? So if blessings was missing, you know, some of us didn't grow up with that kind of language or touch of blessing, right? I know I didn't, because when I went to that Family Foundation International, only at age 41 that I realized how blessed I was. I'm not saying that my mom and dad didn't do a good job. I'm not saying that they didn't love me. They did, they do. But many simply do not know how. A lot of us do not know how to bless, because our parents, because you yourself have not received, they themselves have not ever received that kind of blessings from their parents. So it's something that we can change today as believers, as Christians. And even if you have never received that blessing like that from your parents, can I say that there is good news? Because God knows how to. God knows how to bless you. God is a perfect Father, and He still speaks to us today. Amen. You know, even before Jesus did any ministry, the Father actually said to Him in Matthew 3:17, it says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So your Father in heaven is saying to you, this is the blessing that each of us are actually invited in to receive, freely and not earned. Freely and not earned. Can I just ask you to shut your eyes? Father, where words of blessings were missing, would you fill those spaces with your voice today? Would you just show them how much you love them? How much you see them? You have not forgotten them. That you already had them in mind before they were formed, even in their mother's womb. Friends, can you imagine us walking in this culture of blessing where it flows just so freely? Parents to children, friends to friends, older to younger. The reason why I say older to younger, not younger to older, is because the older is supposed to show and model it to the young ones, okay? And husband to wife and wife to husband. Instead of criticism, we speak life. Instead of comparison, we speak God's design. This is how families heal. This is how hearts come alive. And this is how identity is restored. I'm going to close. I just invite the worship team up, please. Thank you. I'm going to close in a couple of minutes, but I just want you to soak in. I just want you to know how much the Father loves you, how much He wants to bless you. But if you've received something today, maybe ask the Lord right now, who can I bless with my words today? Just close your eyes. Who can I speak life over today? Could it be for Pastor Jez? Could it be for me? Could it be for your mom? Could it be for your dad? Could it be for your children? Could it be for your spouse? My friends, one sentence can change a life. One sentence. That's all you need. That's all you need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just let Him speak to you. Let Him minister to you.